take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2. I've tried for the last several years to, at some point, speak on this passage, whether in a candlelight service or the week before Christmas or at some time, just helping to understand the birth of Christ and its importance. And so hopefully you will recognize some great things in this passage that really speak to us about that God has a plan, not just a plan way back when, but even a plan today for all of us to do and follow His will. So I'd like to read to you the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, says, "And it came to pass, in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us clarity about your son's birth. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that it stands for and all the things that it accomplished. And so, Lord, today I pray that we would have a mindset of seeing that plan, not just how it played out in that first year of his life, but also in our life today, that we'd recognize that Christmas is really about Jesus and that he's the reason for the season. So, Lord, today give me unction. Give me clarity of mind and thought that I may simply speak the truth in such a way that all could hear and understand. Thank you, Lord, for your promise again when your word is read and I come back void. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, I heard a great story about a six-year-old group singing a children's concert, and they were singing this this famous song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And in that line, there's goes like this, God and sinners reconcile, which is kind of a hard concept for six-year-olds to kind of get a hold of. One little boy singing with a voice that kind of drowned out everyone else was not singing God and sinners reconcile, but singing God and sinners dressed in style. And so I kind of like that. Sometimes we kind of miss the idea of what we're singing and just make up our own things. And so sometimes Christmas is just like that as well. Brother Todd mentioned traditions, and traditions are great, and we have our traditions, and we should hold to those good traditions. But sometimes we allow things to creep in that really have nothing to do with Christmas, that kind of muddle the idea of what Christmas is truly about. So when you go back to Luke chapter 2, I think it lays out a great plan that we can pull from and understand that God has something special for us, especially for this Christmas and this Christmas season. So then the first thing I want you to notice is the plan of the Lord, the plan of the Lord. You recognize quickly that God's got a plan. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass in those days. It came to pass 452 times in the Bible that phrase is used, and it came to pass. 65 times in the New Testament it says, it came to pass. And so what came to pass? Can I quickly say it was the plan of the Lord. God has a plan of redemption, a plan of salvation, a plan of reconciliation, a plan to bring the world back to him, a plan to make the creation back to the Creator itself. We recognize this plan starts way back in the beginning. It has its thoughts in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when the Lord told Satan that he's going to put something there that was not good against Satan. He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we recognize the plan starts there. This plan continues in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, says this. This was a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We understand the plan of God is prevalent. We recognize that God has a plan, not just in those days again, but a plan for our life, a plan for my life, and a plan for yours. It may not look like it right now today, but I'm telling you, it does. And so look at this plan that was made good in this first Christmas. One, there was a definite time. A plan had a definite time. At the right time, God in history sent his son. Galatians 4 says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And you begin to look, why born, why that birth on that first day, on that first time of Christmas? Why not sooner? Well, you've heard me preach this before about how God has a plan to use all the world powers to make things right. If you remember in 600 BC, God leads his people into captivity. Babylon conquers the world there. And then we have somebody that conquers the Babylonians, which is the Medes and Persians. And so Darius brings those people out and sets them free. Then the Greeks conquer the Medes and to raise up a leader named Alexander the Great, which had the this Greek language in him. He was taught by Aristotle. And so he taught the whole world that they must have an understanding of the Greek language. And so all the world now speaks the Greek language under Alexander the Great. And then Rome comes in and conquers the Greeks there. And they build roads and use different things. And so now when Christ is born, the gospel can be preached and everyone can understand. And it can go to every corner of the earth. That's why God did this right then and there. You say, well, why not later after that? Well, 70 years later, after Christ was born, Israel revolts from Rome, and Rome comes in and destroys the temple with all the records. And so after this time, nobody can tell who the son of David is. But at the right time and right place in history, we know that Christ was born, who was the son of David, and he will be used to save the whole world. It was this plan of a definite time, but also in difficult circumstances. It was made in difficult circumstances. The plan included hardships and trials. So notice Luke 2 again, verse 3 says, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David. And so the plan was, in God's great design, to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem so she could bring forth her child in the city of David as the prophecies had proclaimed. So again, at the right time in history, he raised up a man named Caesar Augustus with great power and forced everyone back to their hometowns. And this is kind of where it gets interesting. Joseph and Mary have to simply go, but it would take great hardships in their life to get to the place they needed to be. And so we understand that hardships are part of the plan of God. And you may be thinking in your life, well, for everything to go good seems to be God's plan. Well, no, not necessarily. And we tend to think, well, those biblical characters had it so easy. Well, that was not the case. We recognize that these two had very troubling times. So many times in our life is when God uses us the greatest, when things don't seem to be working out like we think we should. But take heart knowing this, that when tough times are here, God is always moving in great ways. I go back to Israel. They're in bondage, and so God raised up a man named Moses to lead them out of Egypt. I think about the Israel in the wilderness times when they were out of food, God sends manna. I think about when Israel crossing the promised land, the Jordan River is swollen, and so we find that the priests step in and the waters parted. I think about Israel fighting against Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. When hardships and troubles or trials are there, it seems that God steps in and does something great. I want you to understand, in your life today, you may have troubles and trials, but that's when God uses those things in great ways to make great possibilities for you. There's a great story told about Corrie ten Boom in her book, The Hiding Place. Her and her sister were in World War II, and their family were caught hiding Jews. They were Christians, but because of their Christian desire, they wanted to save the Jewish people, and so they hid them. They were arrested, put in a concentration camp, and I think you probably heard this story before. They went from camp to camp. They were finally moved to a new cell in cell block 28. And as they were in that place, one of the things that was so bad is there was an infestation of fleas. And Corrie ten Boom says she couldn't hardly sleep at night because the fleas just biting, and she said she was miserable. And so she was complaining to her sister Betsy, which died later on. She said, I don't like this. I'm so sick of this. I'm tired of this. And her sister said this, hey, I read something great in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. She said, let's give thanks for everything, for the cell we're in, for the guards, for the ladies we're being able to minister to, and even for the fleas. She said, I'm not giving thanks for the fleas, but finally convinced her, and they gave thanks for even the fleas. Well, their Bible study grew and grew and grew and grew, and they began to have worship services in that cell. And they often wondered that the Nazis, that they would not allow this, but nobody ever came in, no guards ever came in that cell and stopped them from Bible study and worship. Sometime later after the release, they found out why. They asked the guard, and he said, "We would not dare go in those cells because of the flea infestation." Know this, the very thing they could not stand and they prayed to get rid of was the very thing that allowed them to share the gospel with all those ladies in that jail cell, and many came to faith in Christ. All I'm trying to say, in our life today, so many times we have all these hardships and trials. We say, "Lord, please take it from us." That may be the very thing that conforms and shapes our life so that we cling to Christ even more, and He does something miraculous in our life. So going back to Joseph and Mary, they faced a perilous journey. Can you imagine going 80 miles, walking, sometimes maybe riding on horseback, and with a pregnant lady, amen? I'm telling you, Joseph faced some tough times going through there. It all worked out for good, though. And so we recognize that our life today, when we go through hardships, it is good because God used those to do great things. Hardships, unmet expectations, tragedies, and blessings. God shapes those and forms those to bring them to pass to make His plan work out for good. I love that passage. Probably one of my favorite verses is this in Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Can I say it again? All things work together for good. How good God is. God wants you to take and allow Him to work those things out for good. Sometimes we run, sometimes we hide, sometimes we scoff, sometimes even we deny those plans that God has for us. Let me encourage you this morning before we move on, take some time and acknowledge the plan of God that He has for you. And ask yourself, am I following that plan? Are you letting difficult circumstances stopping you from following what God has for you? Simply this morning, recognize that God wants you to follow His plan. Well, we go from the plan of the Lord, but secondly, we have the publicity for the Lord, the publicity of the Lord. So we get to verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch of their flock by night. And it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." So we recognize that was a messenger of the Lord that's going to share something. And so notice again the first thing, the messenger of the Lord. Again, verse 10 says, "The angel said unto them." Notice angels. You say, "Well, you believe in angels?" Well, the Bible does. It is clear the Bible speaks about angels over and over again. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 speaks about they are ministering spirits. Angels had many jobs. They were used to help, protect, even at times destroy. But they had a main purpose is to proclaim the message of God in this passage as the Savior was being born. And we could talk about many people like Zechariah and the earlier visit to Mary and now to Joseph. But notice they visited the shepherds, which pertain really to us. And they start out by saying, fear not. Why send an angel? Why send an angel to these guys? We need to recognize that they had a great message. And it is so easy to get caught up in the world that sometimes we need something to stir us and move us and shake us that we may focus back on God's great plan. You say, "I wish an angel would come today." Well, let me remind you, the next time God shows up an angel, probably, for sure, at some point, you may have another encounter some other place maybe. But notice this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." I'm telling you, we may not see another angel till then, but one day God's going to come back again with the voice of the archangel, and He declared, "Today is the day." And when that happens, you're either in or out. Why not say yes today to the voice of God as He speaks to your heart today? And so there was the messenger of the Lord, but secondly, there's the message of the Lord. Again, verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The good news that God is bringing His plan to redeem mankind has finally been here. The news is that the Savior is born, and that's why we need that more than anything. I like Max Lucado. He writes so well, and he speaks about man's greatest need. And he says this. He said if man's greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If man's greatest need would have been technology, he would have sent a scientist. If it had been money, it would have been an economist. If it had been pleasure, he would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. Acts 4:12 reminds us who this Savior is. He says, neither is there salvation to any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby men must be saved. Let me tell you, my friends, that name is Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man can to the Father but by me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And so, my friends, the message was that a Savior was born, but not just a Savior, but now one that is supreme. He said, which is Christ the Lord. 673 verses with 734 times in the New Testament says, Lord. And my friends, when you recognize what Lord means, that means he is a sovereign, he is in control, he's the master. And so we understand that this one that was born as a babe was the Lord of all. Adrian Rogers also makes a great comment about this. He said, you cannot receive what Jesus gives, that's salvation, and refuse who Jesus is, and that is Lord. We need to understand that the Lord wants us to be a follower of his, that we need to commit ourselves to him, that we need to submit ourselves by simply believing. Adrian Rogers goes on to say this, you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, but there's a second question, is he your Lord? Is he Lord of your tongue? Is he Lord of your time? Is he Lord of your treasure? Is he Lord of your talents? Is he Lord of your testimony? Is he Lord? We should recognize and understand this one born is truly supreme. He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We need to understand that God wants us to submit to himself and follow him. Acts 2:36 says this, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And I'm reminded of Revelation chapter 19 verse 16 says, speaking about Christ when he comes again, he has on his vesture and his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the question today is not, will you make him Lord? He is already Lord, but will you submit to his lordship? That is the message they proclaimed. But notice also, not just the messenger, not just the message, but who the message was meant for. Who the message was meant for. Verse 10 again. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now to them, that's the shepherds, and you've heard me preach this before about how they were unreligious, they were unclean, they were unfit, they were not the religious crowd of the day. Matter of fact, they spent a lot of time in the fields and rarely came to worship. But notice, we understand that they were people in need just like us. They were not the religious right, but they were low, humble people that needed Jesus. Luke 5:31 says, and Jesus answered and said to them, they that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. And so we can take comfort today knowing that Jesus cares about all of us, not just those that sit in high places, but all of us that need the Lord. Notice verse 10, for all people. Jesus that was born was for you and for me. And it's good to recognize the good news was not just for whoever, but especially for me and for you. That's why we celebrate that he is the reason for the season. Well, moving on, there's the plan of the Lord, there's the publicity of the Lord, but thirdly, there's the place for the Lord. There's going to be an announcement that a Savior of the world would be born, but notice not in a place you think a King of glory would be born in. Notice first the predicament in verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The sign given for the Messiah that would save the world was one little child lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. That word manger in the Greek is phante. It means a feeding trough or crib. Matter of fact, that's the way it's used in Luke chapter 13, verse 15, when it says this, the Lord answered and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his donkey from their stall, that's the word there, and lead him away to watering. And so we find that he's in a place where animals lay. Why would Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this? Because we recognize there was no room for them then. It's not that the innkeeper was mean or nasty or hateful. There was just no room for him in a place that we would normally think that one should be born in. And so in one sense, we understand that, hey, things happen. And yet we find ourselves in that same predicament. We too now become keeper of the end. And I wonder, will we have a room for Jesus? Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in him and sup with him, and he with me." Today, the Spirit will ask you, do you have room for me? Do you have room for Jesus? And when he knocks on your heart, will you let him in? You might think, well, I have nothing against Jesus. I just got a busy life. Let me just tell you, that's the same predicament they were in. Can you imagine the blessing the innkeeper missed by not having room for Jesus? Maybe you have a full life. Maybe today you go in this and that. Let me just remind you, your life will not be satisfied until you become satisfied with the one who made all things. And so we go from this idea of predicament to now a purpose. There's another reason why he was born in a manger, and it's not because I wrote this down, not because Mary made them late and caused them to miss check-in time, amen. It shows his humble beginnings open to all. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich." And so the idea we find that the one that was the King of Kings was born in the poorest of poor places. And it's found that usually the low and meek are approachable. And in Scripture we find all kinds of people seeking Christ Jesus. In Matthew chapter 2 we find the wise men seek him. In Mark chapter 10, a rich young ruler approaches Jesus. In John chapter 19, a religious leader named Nicodemus approaches Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8, even a Roman soldier approaches Jesus and asks for things. Those with infirmities, the blind and the lame, even lepers in Mark chapter 1. And so we find this one born in a manger, the one born of low circumstances, is now approachable to all mankind. He has opened the door for us, per se, that we may seek him and know him. The question is, will we seek Jesus? Will we come and find a place for him in our lives? Well, here's the last thing I want you to see. Not just the plan of the Lord, not just the publicity of the Lord, not just the place for the Lord, but now the praise to the Lord. Not only did the angels praise the Lord for the birth of Christ, but so now the shepherds will do the same. Notice first their attention. Verse 15 says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Notice they had their attention was on Christ himself. Yes, they did see the angels, and yes, they did hear the singing, but their attention was on the thing that the Lord had brought to pass, and that was the birth of Christ Jesus. It's amazing today that our heart is drawn to so many things when it comes to church, which is good. We come and we worship and we fellowship and we do all these things, but do we truly have a desire to see Jesus? John chapter 12, verse 21 is a great verse. It speaks about people that came to see Jesus. It says, "They came therefore to Philip, which was Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." That should be our intent on Christmas. Yes, there's a lot of great things that take place at Christmas time, family and fun and food and parties, but do we want to see Jesus? Secondly, it says the Lord has made known to us. They recognize also that God was paying attention to them. Perhaps, again, the greatest thing you thought you needed to say today is not that there's a God in heaven, but a God in heaven that has his eyes on you. Know this, that God sees us, and they recognize that, so should we. So we go from their attention. Now notice their anticipation. Verse 16 says, "Then they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger." Came with haste. That word is speedo. It's probably the same word we get speedo from. They came like little children. Do you ever watch the children? Y'all have a better view than I do. I sit in the front kind of here. But when those children leave, can you see the excitement? I'm not sure if they're ready to run from the preaching or they're running to get back there. But they are excited. They leave here with great joy. I see that these men, these shepherds, do the same thing. Notice they leave their flocks behind. They simply head to see what God has revealed to them. I wonder today, do we seek the Lord with the same anticipation? Do we run to enter his presence? It only happens when you recognize the value
and what the Lord has to offer. Let me say that again. It only happens when you recognize the value and the Lord has to offer you. Do you see the value of Jesus? So we see their attention. We see their anticipation, but now notice their acclamation. They share God's news. Verse 17 says, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They're simply sharing what the angel said. They're sharing those good things. And just as the angel shared the news with them, so now they share the news with others. What is a great thought for us that as we have seen, as we have heard, as we have felt the presence of God, so we too must share that same with others. Matter of fact, Jesus, speaking in Matthew 24:14, says this, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Acts 1:8 says this, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. Why did they go and tell others? It was good news. And so why don't we tell others? Maybe we don't believe. Maybe there's a battle because when you share, there's going to be pushback. Whatever the reason, I'm not sure. But we should be about the business of sharing Christmas and why it took place, that others may know the goodness of Christ. But lastly, notice this, not just their attention and their anticipation and their acclamation, but now notice their actions. Verse 20 says this, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Notice, they returned. They were still shepherds. They went back to their same life they were doing. They went back to their flocks. They went back to living. But they were changed. They start living for the Lord. They rang out the praises of the Lord, glorifying and praising God. This glorifying and praising God, not to be fancy here, but it's in a present active tense. It's not something they did one time and stopped with. It was a continual action from that day forward that they rang out what they had seen and told others about the good news. They continually glorified and praised the Lord. We should too when we recognize what Christ means. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Again, when we realize the value of Christ, when we understand what Christ and who Christ is, we should be in the business of telling others. You say, what is that we should tell? Well, John sums it up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How good is that? To declare God's goodness, to receive God's goodness, to live in God's goodness, to simply understand what God did for us, gives us this idea that we had the greatest Christmas of all. Let me go back to that song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. The verses go like this, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Now if you drop down, it says this, mild he lays his glory by, born that no man may more die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ came for a reason, not so we could just celebrate or have time off from work or just be around family, but truly to be reconciled to him, have our sins paid, and our fellowship and our relationship with God restored, that we may live, not just have a peace on earth, but in paradise one day with him. How good it is when we understand what Christ did for us and the plan of God for us. That's why we can say, Merry Christmas. I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment. Close your eyes. I wonder today, will you truly recognize the reason for the season? Will you understand those words, God and sinner reconciled? Will you understand the plan of God? That was not something that happened just thousands of years ago, but really truly was happening today. That God's plan for you was simply to submit yourself to him, to understand his goodness and his love and his mercy, and to follow him with all your heart. And if you'll do that, my friends, there's the gift of God that will give you what you need. It will give you peace on earth. It will give you eternal life. It will change your life forever if you'll simply follow Him. So maybe this morning you want to do that for the first time. If you're here today, don't let anything hold you back. As we begin to sing, why not walk down that aisle and say, Brother Paul, I need Jesus. Or maybe if you've done that, say, what do I need to do to follow Him more closely? Or maybe you are a follower of Christ, but really have gotten off that straight and narrow. And maybe it's a rededication or a recommitment today. Or maybe you just want to come and pray at this altar. Maybe for someone who really needs to understand what Christmas is all about. Whatever it is, don't miss an opportunity to be found faithful in the eyes of God. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Christmas. We thank You for what it stands for. We thank You, Lord, for what it leads to. We thank You, Lord, for redemption and reconciliation. Lord, I pray that You convict our hearts to live day by day, that we be like the shepherds, glorifying and praising You with every breath we have, always. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen.